Welcome to the Manly Pinterest Tip Show. Pinterest Tip Show. A show designed to assist man in his quest to succeed on Pinterest. If you have interest in the content you want to share, content you want your clients to see, learn ways to grow and succeed in this unique and exciting world. One man will assist you on your journey to become a pinner and grow your presence online. Men and women can share in the success. And here to show you how
is your host.
Is your host, Jeff C. Adding testosterone, one pin at a time.
Hello, folks. Welcome to the Manly Pinterest Tips Podcast. I'm Jeff C., and you're not. Do you struggle with getting things done? Does the thought of adding social media to the mix of all your tasks make you want to climb back in bed and pull the covers over your head? Well, rise and shine, sleepyhead. Today is your lucky day. But first, have you headed over to manlypinteresttips.com and downloaded my free tackle box? It's full of some of my favorite tools that I use to create my images and to boost my productivity. Quit fishing for resources and go download my free Manly Pinterest Tips tackle box at manlypinteresttips.com. On today's show, I bring back productivity expert and my friend Eric Fisher to share some tips on how to optimize your tasks when it comes to social media. Eric Fisher is the social media manager for Social Media Examiner and host of the award-winning podcast Beyond the To-Do List. Eric is an authority on social media, productivity, and podcasting who began blogging back in 2004 before Facebook and Twitter even entered into the picture. With such a long history in the business, he's picked up a trick or two, and thankfully for us, he's willing to share. If you've ever wanted to get help on those time-consuming tasks on social, learn tools that can help on social media, or strategies on finding great content, then today's show is for you. Now, this interview that I did with Eric was a live show where the audience was able to interact with myself, guests, and each other. If you'd like to be a part of one of our live shows, make sure to head on over to manlypinteresttips.com and join our email community to find out when our next live show is. Come join us, where you can ask your own questions during the show. Eric knows how to run and manage a large organization's social media, and he shares tips on what platform is most important, how to feed the content monster, as well as some tips for blocking out and being diligent with your time on social media. I'm blessed to work with Eric and soak in his knowledge every week, so I know you'll love to hear his tips too. So let's jump right into my conversation with Eric Fisher. Eric, thank you so much for being back on the show today.
It is my pleasure and privilege. And you're a gentleman, however all those phrases get morphed together. Anyway, thanks for having me.
Yeah. So as I'm talking today with you guys, if you're on Facebook, hop on over to Huzza. That's where we kind of answer the questions we have. There's a Q&A little tab that you can go and click on, ask your questions, and Eric and I will try to get to them during the show today. So Facebook, I really don't monitor those while you're going, but I'll go back in the comments later and try to answer those if you can't get to Huzza for some reason. So Eric, you know, many people want to know how you became such an authority on social media and productivity. How did you get started?
Slowly. it took a while. Ultimately what it came down to was productivity was always this thing where I was trying to hack stuff, and I got pretty good at hacking certain things. And then inevitably what happens is you get further along and then your scenario changes and then you got to learn to hack things all over again. And I've had that happen too over the past few years.
Right.
Social media, I was there when it first started. I was, you know, one of the people like, what's this Facebook thing, when all these college students were on it, because I worked at a college and, you know, they didn't let non-students in. Then they did. And it was like, I don't get it. And then I kind of got it. And anyways, I've had a love-hate relationship with it, to be honest, the whole time.
You pretty much had to do it because you needed it. So you were studying productivity out of necessity is what you're doing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Even back in the old days, I was always carrying this little flip open like pad in my timer. Well, sort of. It was almost like a reporter's notebook where it's like, all right, my idea is I am so smart. And it's like, remember that for later. Right. No. So, yeah, it was always about trying to hack the stuff to get better at it, because I always knew it just felt like there's got to be more to this. Like, it's got to be, you got to be able to get this stuff done better or different than the way that it's just on the surface appears to be.
Was there any big mentor you like started with? Because I know a lot of people do the getting things done when they first get started. Was there a first kind of one you looked at and went, oh, aha, that's the one that I can relate to this guy?
Yeah. I mean, I think it probably, I was aware of the like Stephen Covey stuff early on, but didn't like entrench myself into it. I just came across it as I was surfing the web while at work. And then I came across David Allen, Getting Things Done, and I read his book, but then it didn't really solidify or like aha moment, whatever, until Merlin Mann came along, 43 folders. That site's still there, by the way, still good stuff. And he still podcasts to this day. He's the one that like really made me think, oh my gosh, like anytime I listen to him, he's thinking on this whole other level. I wish I could think like that. So,
right. So, you know, well, we're going to talk about social media and productivity today. And, you know, social media has this, it's almost funny. It's almost a cliche that it's known as this notorious time suck. Like people say, get off Facebook and get back to work. So,
yeah.
So how can people and be productive on social media? Don't they come from like opposite sides of the spectrum? I mean, isn't that kind of, can you be productive on social media?
Well, that's what's funny about it is the fact that like me being on Facebook doing work today was being productive. So, and yeah, the lines get blurred. I mean, you and me both, we work with Social Media Examiner and there are groups in there where I've got to go in and I've got to post stuff or interact with stuff and then pull stuff from there and take it elsewhere. And it's all about taking the path you're supposed to take instead of veering off into the,
squirrel.
And that's the thing is so like I always picture it as if there's stuff you got to do, then you got to do the whole Clivesdale thing where you put the blinders up for the horse so they can't see, and it gets hard because you're staring at a screen where it's that limited amount of space, right. But then and even more so, you know, on the smaller screen, stuff comes up, stuff pops up, and you have to practice shooing it away to only do the thing you're supposed to do. There's even an app. In fact, I probably have it. Let me open real quick here. It's funny. It's called Focus, and I'd have to give you the right link for it in the Mac App Store. But what it does is literally you type in what it is you're supposed to be doing right then, and you set an interval. And every so often on your screen, it just says, write that report or something. Right. And it just you're like, oh, right, that's what I'm supposed to be doing. And if you're not there, you feel guilty. So, Right. Yeah, anyway, long story short, yeah. So social media is not the enemy. It is, like everything else, very addictive and can be, you know, you could be watching TV. You could be watching Netflix. You could be texting people. It's all stuff you shouldn't be doing. But if it's stuff that you should be doing mixed in with, you see what I'm saying?
Right. So like a small business. Okay, let's take it. Because we're like the intense people. And that's our job is social media. Most people's job is not social media. But small businesses more and more and more need to be active on social media because they get leads, they get sales, they get, you know, they become known for a certain thing. So what are some like tips and hacks that you have to help us? You know, you mentioned the Focused app. What maybe some other ones? Because, you know, even for us, like you and I both curate for, you know, breaking news on social media. And so it's easy. Okay, we see this in our feed. We put it on there and then we read it. But then we say, oh, Eric posted there's a new thing on Instagram. I better read that. And, you know, and so it's easy to, yes, I'm still doing my job in that channel. But, okay, this is here. Do you set aside like certain times to go back and curate, certain times to go back and do research? What's the best like hack that you would have maybe for a small business who's just needing to go out there and, you know, post something about their business or curate something for their audience during their time on social?
You've got to schedule what you can schedule in the multiple ways that I could mean that. There are a couple of different ways. So one, schedule the posts that you can schedule and batch process them all at once if you can for a certain duration and have that be a regularly recurring thing, you know, a calendar item if you will, right. daily or weekly, or even monthly if you can. But then also scheduling, literally blocking out the time where I'm going to go in and I'm going to check to see if there's any news. I'm going to give myself a full half hour for it. And that way I can find one, I'll go see what's been found already. Two, I'll find what else is new out there and look at it and then disseminate that information to where it needs to go. And I think there's probably another portion of scheduling that I could have gone into, but I can't remember.
Well, is it, you know, you, I know a lot of people have heard this because I get to ask the question a lot. It's like, well, isn't scheduling bad? Doesn't it hurt my, what people see on Facebook? You know, if I use these tools, and does it depend on certain platforms, or have you found scheduling is just a win-win all the time?
Well, I mean, if you're talking about Facebook itself, where some people say, if I schedule something on Facebook, it gets less seen, less reach.
Right.
I don't think there's a way you can't, I don't think it's realistic for most people to have stuff sat there queued up as a draft and then just go in and then hit publish. I think you've got to have it scheduled to go out at certain intervals that you've figured out for your page. That's right for you. But that said, I mean, if all you're ever doing is scheduling posts to go out and you're never doing any kind of interaction right. at all, then that's a problem. You can't automate that.
Gotcha. And we'll talk
but
about,
you can, but you can schedule it too.
Right. And so, yeah, so
in a different way.
Yeah. Planning stuff out, and we'll talk about engagement in a little bit later. But one of the things I know, a lot of times when people and small businesses get on social media for the first time, and they want to, they're overwhelmed. They're like, I've got to come up with all this stuff. And so, you know, part of the thing is curating things for your audience that you think would be helpful. It's, and a lot of people have a little trouble. They get scared because they think, oh, I'm helping the competition or whatever. But, you know, curating is a good thing.
Yes.
But Peg Fitzpatrick, you know, talked about in the, in her and Guy's, Kawasaki's book, The Art of Social Media, talks about the importance of feeding the content monster. And that's what it is. It feels like, you know, when you're getting started, it's like, oh, I have to keep feeding these bins of content to my, for my audience to have. So how can we optimize that? Do you have any like tools and strategies that we can use to help feed that content monster?
Sure. Well, if you feel like you've got to constantly be sharing, then, and not everybody does. I think we overlook the fact that there's certain times where it's just like you don't need to be sharing something every hour on the hour
right.
or on every channel. You just don't. But there are certain channels like Twitter, for example, where you probably want to share more often than you do. To find great content to share, there are tools that can help you with that, like Nuzzle. That's N-U-Z-Z-E-L. That'll you connect that to like your Facebook and your Twitter account, and it'll see what's been the most interesting or popular stuff that your followers or people you're following have found. And it brings it to the top. So you can kind of choose out of that. Primarily I say, select the right sources, find people who are already curating stuff
right.
and then see what they're, cause they're already doing some of the choosing for you. And then you just choose off of their choosing and there you go. I mean, for that matter, I would follow Michael Stelzner's Twitter account because that's where we funnel a bunch of stuff through.
Right.
So,
yeah. And I would say, you know, for, it depends on your industry. You know, we're talking about social media stuff and we're, Eric and I are in social media. So we're always looking at different leaders in the industry or whatnot. But like, let's say you're a flower shop. Well, Pinterest would be a great place for you to go. And you can even look and see, you know, do a search in the Pinterest toolbar, see what's popular, see what, you know, that your audience would like and share some of that stuff. So using just some of the tools that are already out there, even Facebook, go in the search bar and use their search graph and search for things that are popular too, is a way to find content and not be, I find a lot of people who are scared to share stuff because they think it's going to take away from them, but really you're showing your audience value and that's what they're following you for.
So, most people forget when you share somebody else's thing, that it was somebody else's thing. So right. often we would share stuff for Social Media Examiner and they would think it was our article. So
do you, I know you use BuzzSumo. That's another good one to find mm-hmm. Good content. And you know, that has, you can search all sorts of industries, not just social media. So it's a fun tool too. Here's a question, as platform, as you know, all these platforms kind of develop and more channels come up. You know, we got Instagram. Now we have Instagram stories, Facebook, Facebook pages, and Snapchat. You know, I'm finding it's harder for me to like engage my followers and fans. So how can we be productive? And this is a big thing with me right now, and I'm really struggling with it. How can we be productive without ignoring our community and coming across like a jerk who is just constantly broadcasting? I mean, it was easy back when, you know, I first started and I was getting to know people and stuff. And, you know, especially on Twitter, it's a fire hose.
Yeah.
So how can we be productive in engagement and not be a jerk? Because, you know, everybody knows those people you try to contact when you first were doing it. They never would even, you know, like your stuff or even say anything back to you. Right. And so I don't want to be that person. So how do we be productive in that way?
Yeah, it has a lot to do with scale, and it has to do with choosing which platforms you're going to use or even make primary. I think at this point we all have to use Facebook, and I think we all have to use Twitter. I think those are, you know, unless at some point there comes a notice that says, no, you don't have to anymore. I think we do. Past that, I do think we're kind of at that Instagram phase where if you're using it, you kind of need to respond to people, but
right,
we'll see. Snapchat, I'm still on the fence with that. And, you know, I know you are as well. Yeah, it's like, right, do we use it? Do we not use it? I feel like I'm missing out.
Stories hits the points that I wanted for Snapchat. So
yeah.
Shannon Hernandez says he loves Instagram stories. He has an awesome Instagram story channel. If you watch him, Shannon Hernandez, the Shan Man, he's awesome. Thanks, Shannon, for watching. But do you have, like, when you talk about scale, how do you do that?
Yeah. So ultimately, so one of the things that I do for Social Media Examiner is I go through and look at all the things people are saying on all those channels, not all the channels, but almost all the channels. And so what I do is I use Agora Pulse, and it allows us to kind of section it off as an inbox. So I can say, okay, from the last time I came in to now, there's only been this so many messages, and then I can go through on this platform and look at them all, and I can respond, or I can say, okay, that's spam or whatever, and then check mark and done. And then I can move on to the next one in that. So I can do Facebook, I can do Twitter, we can do more than those. But the cool thing is then if somebody else is working with you on a team, they can go right back in and pick up right where you left off. And that's good. The other key piece to this is, like, scheduling the time to do a certain thing, like posting or scheduling posts, right, or working on creating the content that then becomes the post. You have to schedule, you have to block out that time. So you say, okay, well, here's a half hour. I'm going to allow myself to go in and check all my Twitter app mentions and see if there's any that I absolutely have to respond to, try to respond to as many as I can. And then I'll move on to the next thing, which is maybe a private Twitter list called Real Timeline that nobody knows about.
Right.
And then you check in and see what cool things your friends or influencers are doing, and maybe reply or retweet. Then you go to Facebook and do the same thing, have a list. And you can even create a list on Facebook and then create a URL bookmark to that list only. And so then you're not looking at your full newsfeed, you're looking at only those people. And you can scroll through and I can say, okay, there's Jeff C. He just had another cool, funny thing. I'm gonna like that, you know, and just go on down through and just say, hey, I acknowledge you. You are cool. I like what you're doing, all that kind of stuff. And you can even check, you know, the messages there as well.
So how do you go back and periodically look at that list and say, oh, here's a couple of new people I need to add to that I don't want to miss kind of list? Is that how you do that?
Yeah, I think that's inevitably there are times where I realize, oh, I need to update this. And I'll do it every 3 months, 6 months. I'll go back in and
audit.
Change. Yeah, audit's probably the best word for it, is just to see what's going on and not really remove people, but add people sparingly. So.
Gotcha. Well, see, like when I first started on Twitter, I mean, I would go and if somebody would retweet one of my things, I'd always like it and then, you know, say thank you. And, you know, and that can't scale because, you know, as more and more people follow you on Twitter and they reshare your stuff. So, and I don't want to be a jerk. So, I mean, how do you pick and choose? I mean, you're going like, okay, they have that many followers, and so I will make sure I say something. Or how do you, I guess, triage
Yeah.
what you're going to do on some of these networks?
That's a good point. What I will do is I will do it literally, again, depending upon if it's like my personal account, I'm going to go into the actual mentions tab on the website, most likely. And I'll start to scroll through and I will just see, like, I'll see people that, like, you know, liked my tweet. I don't really feel like I need to do anything. If they're liking my tweet, I don't feel like I have to go back and say, hey, thanks for liking my tweet. Like, right, that's right. Just redundant. You just see a bunch of tweets coming out of me and saying, thanks for liking my tweet. Thanks for liking my tweet. And I see those people and I'm like, ooh, you're not on my real timeline anymore. But then I'll go through it. And I mean, I'll just look to see. I mean, if somebody retweeted it, I see it. And if somebody, you want to know the real way to stand out is to really craft a tweet. Like, don't just hit retweet. Say something like, and this is what I'll see is like, you know, Eric Fisher talks to so-and-so about such and such on his podcast. I loved this. Like, I see you.
Right.
And then I'm going to hit reply and say, thanks for listening. You know, what did you get out of it? That kind of thing.
Right.
They stand out because they took the time to stand out.
And even more, I've had like Eileen Smith one time, I asked a question on Twitter. She sent me a video of how to do something. She goes, hey, Jeff, I want you to know, here's how you, and I'm like, holy cow. I mean, I use her for example now for everything because of what she did, because she took the time and made a video response to me. And so one of the questions I have for you too is with like Snapchat, Instagram stories, where there's these videos of people talking to, you know, whatever, and people are interacting to those. Those seem to me like to be, those are going to be harder to scale. Live video responses and how to engage with people on live video. How are we going to scale that? And I think that's a big question. I don't know if we even know the answer to that yet.
I don't know. I know. So for example, and I'll give you this example. A year or more ago, there were people who were saying, hey, I'm attending such and such conference. And so I, with my phone, would open it up and I'd hit reply and I'd select video and I'd be like, hey, it's Eric Fisher. Just want to say thank you for, you know, coming and all that kind of stuff. And so then it came down to, it's just not scalable on the scale of the people that, you know, need it. So anyway, it takes more time. It takes less time to type the thanks, glad you liked it, than to make sure your camera ready enough and then.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Here's the next question for people who are just getting started on social. You know, many times, and I know this is true for me, you don't get much traction and engagement, you know, right out of the gate. Mm-hmm. So a lot of small business owners and owners of small businesses think it's a waste of time. So I've heard that throughout the year, social is a waste of time. I'll put an ad in the old pages and I'll be done with it. So how do you argue that social media can have a good return on investment?
Well, because this is one of those things where, you know, some of the naysayers will say this, like they will say, show me the proof. And ultimately it can be hard to, if you're not measuring it, but like we do, you know, we measure,
everything
straight from start to finish, like someone clicking through to our site, converting to a newsletter subscriber to maybe buying this or that, or, you know, and we track that. And so if you're not tracking that, then of course, and when you're just getting started, you're not thinking about that. You're just thinking, have I gotten 5 more followers today? How many people liked this thing I put out?
Right.
And that's not bad to measure because it's engagement, but at the same time, and you will see more as you do more, you see more, but you got to measure from out of the gate too. And
you know, I always would say, you know, what's the ROI of a billboard? Because people would pay money for a billboard and it's, can't track that. But I guess, I see them struggling with, okay, do you think here's a better question. Do you think that every business in today's world needs to be on some channel on social media?
That is an interesting question. I could go both ways with this because there are probably certain businesses that don't need to. They just don't need to. But at the same time, if they are, they can benefit from it, you know? I mean, you know, I live in a small town. And there's places here that have Facebook, and I'm sure that it gets them more traffic and top of mind stuff than, you know, like, for example, there's a coffee shop that I frequent, and they are on Facebook, and I follow them there and even on Instagram. And when I see them come through my feed, it's that extra top of mind awareness. And so I don't think it can hurt as long as you're doing it well.
Gotcha. Yeah. I've seen here lawn care business, which you think that, you know, wouldn't have it, but they actually have their times listed, and then they show their pictures of what they've done. And they've told me they've gotten business because of Facebook, which I would never have thought of for a, you know, somebody who mows lawns, but it really works.
We're at that. So I'll put it this way. I actually am going more towards the fact that I think at some point everybody will need to. I don't think we're there yet, but I think we're at that point where so many people use Facebook as the internet in general, that it's like, if you're not there, it's kind of like you don't exist.
Here's a question. Shannon says, he goes, agreed. Some businesses don't need to be on social. He goes, I noticed that bars and clubs don't need to be on social. But Shannon, I'm asking you a question because I know you're listening. Wouldn't you say, though, if they did use social, they could benefit from it? Like if they had like drink specials for a certain night, or they were, you know, they had a new live show that they were going to have live music on a certain night. Don't you think they could benefit from that? I would argue that they don't have to be, but they could, like Eric said before, it would be a benefit, and they might be able to get some new clients and maybe some new recognition from that. I don't know. Love to know your thoughts, Shannon. You can message me back. The other thing I want to talk about, you know, it's only taken me 40 years, and you kind of talked about this before, but I've really started to learn how to batch things out and not, you know, do things like, okay, I'm going to do all this client's Instagram stories or, you know, Instagram things, and then I'm going to do all of the Pinterest pins, and I'm going to do all the image creation. But do you have any tips for like batching and blocking out time for social media? Like, is there a certain time that's better to do it at? Is there a certain, like, do it for 20 minutes, do it for an hour? Maybe some tips you can give on people who like, okay, this batching thing sounds like a good idea. How do I do it?
Yeah. Well, so batching means, let's define that real quick. Doing a bunch of the same thing all at once so that you don't have to do it in little bits and pieces over time where it distracts you. So for example, all our new articles for Social Media Examiner come out. They don't come out. We have the list of the URLs, I should say. Right. Before they go live, we get those every Friday. And what I will do is I will take that and the images, and I will go through and I will schedule all the tweets for the next week, all of them. And I tried to gamify it a little bit and just say, how quickly can I get this done without it take? And there's two or three other components too. There's like a checklist, project checklist, a weekly project checklist of scheduling that I do. That's every Friday afternoon. And so if there's a way to gamify it. So one thing I found that I can gamify is I'll set the tweet up completely and then I'll hit schedule. And then once it's scheduled into the queue, I hit the backspace on the browser and it brings up the pre-scheduled final version. And then I can tweak a thing or two and then set a different time and then hit schedule again and then keep doing that so that I can take that same tweet and throw it out all those different times and throw a different variation on the headline and throw a different hashtag in or send it to a different account. And I can work with that one tweet multiple different ways, sending it all those places, and then boom, that one's done, moved to the next day. And then if I get interrupted or something, at least that's where I left off. It's going to work differently for different people. For me, Friday afternoon, not my favorite. Like, so here's a perfect example. Friday afternoon, we do our live show mornings, and then I'm a little bit tired. And then some days we have a social team meeting after that, and I'm even more tired. So no, Friday afternoon, I don't want to do something that's taken a lot of thought.
Right.
I'm going to say you're going to have to figure out when is the best time for you to do something that maybe doesn't take a lot of, for some people it's going to take creativity. For others, this is monotonous. Like this is just hitting reply on email, thanks, got it, and moving on type stuff. It's administrative. You're going to have to figure out which this line of this task falls into for you, and then figure out when is the best time of day for you to do that. Because if there's a time of day that you're more creative and it's a creative thing for you, duh, there's where you want to go. Even day of week, for that matter. But if it's a time of day that you're more administrative and it's an administrative thing for you and you can just do it while you've got music blasting, do that.
Yeah. And so the thing with you're saying about, well, I would like wait, and Social Media Examiner, I run their Instagram account. And so I would be at the end of the day, because for us posting in the evening, they do better. And so I was having to post Instagram because you can't really schedule them on the evening. And so I was waiting to create that post for the day. And I would dread it. I would hate it because I'm like, oh, what am I going to do? I don't know. And so I started to plan out, even though I can't schedule them out for the week on Mondays, in the morning, if I can get up, have some coffee, and get those things that aren't my favorite to do, because it's hard to be that creative, yeah. I think, and get those done in the morning, then my rest, I don't have to stress at the evenings, and it just makes every life so much better. And right. I'm zinging zippity doo dah. I mean, it's great. And so one of the things also I want to ask you is, you know, you schedule these tweets, but you also leave space for breaking news. You don't say, I'm done with Twitter. I've got these scheduled. Nothing will deter me from that. You leave space for, you know, if there needs to be, you know, breaking news or something else. And I know Chris Brogan actually, and I love how he says it. I think he says, I schedule like 50% of my day. Other than that, I leave to, you know, life and changing stuff up. And so What are your thoughts on that? And what are some advice you can give us kind of on that aspect?
Yeah. So I like what Chris says. He schedules a certain amount of things and then leaves other things open. And I would say if that's appealing to you, then you've got to schedule the things that you have to schedule or the things that absolutely have to be done.
Right.
You can't let those things be what falls in the loosey-goosey section. But I think he's on something, or onto something where he understands that stuff comes up. And so you have to have some margin to be able to fudge one way or the other. Like, oh, I got to do this now. I wasn't planning on it, but now I have to. And so again, it comes down to which of those things that you must have done, what are they? Are they creative? Are they administrative? How long is it going to take? When's the best time of day to do those, et cetera. And it's not easy because maybe something comes up in the morning and you know you're going to spend a lot more time on the rest of the day on it, and that's going to bleed over into your creative better part of your day that you is better for that and the thing you have planned to do there. But that's when you have to start to juggle stuff and say, okay, well, does it have to be done today or can it be done tomorrow during the next creative slot that I have set up? It's just about flexibility in that terms. Flexibility inside the structure.
Right. Right. So I'm going to have my creative time at a certain time. And then I know that, okay, I just got to bang through stuff at another time and then just kind of work that out every day.
Yeah.
Jan has a question. She goes, Eric, how often or soon do you respond to comments on your social media posts? So let's say we throw something up on Social Media Examiner and there's comments. Are there certain times of day that you go back in and answer those, or do you batch those out? How do you handle that?
Yeah. So try to batch those out as much as possible, where you go in and answer a bunch of things all at once. And again, we use that system where we're checking through Agora Pulse and I've got a set amount of time to go through and check it and do it. So it's really just a matter of how long does it typically take you to go do a check-in? And the more often you do it, the less time it takes each time. But keep in mind, that's one more time each time you go do it that you might get distracted on something else.
Right.
On that medium.
Right. We talked about earlier, you know, all the different platforms, and I know this is a question and people get overwhelmed very easily when they first dipping their toe into social media. Should we be everywhere? And how do we pick platforms to focus on? Do you have any thoughts about that?
I think that it should be fun. I think you should enjoy doing it. I think, you know, for you and me, Snapchat was never ultimately all that fun, but we could see how others could use it and like it and enjoy it. But when Instagram came out with that one extra thing on top of the rest of Instagram, it was like, oh, well, I'm already in here. Like,
right.
I'm already having more fun with this anyway. Why not do it there? And so there's that. I think it comes down to what you most like doing on top of what's most effective for what it is you're trying to do.
And where your audience is at. I would say if, you know, people don't know, or they're, you got to look at Facebook because they've got the eyeballs. I mean, that's like you said before, everybody is on Facebook. And so, you know, having a presence there. So that being said, is it worth being first in on a platform? You know, you see these marketers that go, I'm all in on Snapchat, or I'm all in on whatever. You know, is it worth going all in at first before everybody else? What are your thoughts?
It can be. I mean, Gary Vee has said so himself, that if you know, you can be the first person on such and such platform and be that guy. And there's nothing wrong with that if you do it well. But, you know, I would hate to be the first guy in on, for example, Blab or Elo. And I mean, it just doesn't matter at this point, because both of them are pretty much, I mean, I don't know if Elo's dead, but I know Blab is, you know, so.
Yeah. Genesis, you beat me to Elo. Yeah. Now, that being said, I think it's worth going and reserving your name just in case it takes off, because, you know, Snapchat was around for a while before it took off. I mean, it was there. I remember seeing it before it was like one of the platforms to be on. So it's worth going and, you know, making sure you have your name there. So I would, you know, I went and did that even on Elo, and you know, you just,
I did too.
And Peach or whatever, you know, you just might as well.
Did that one.
It doesn't take any time. You know, but even like Google Plus, that was a place to be a couple of years. That's where I cut my teeth on stuff and live video and stuff. And it's, I barely go there anymore because it's just so spammy. But anyway, here's a good question. And I want to know what your thoughts. So say you're starting from scratch on social, very beginning. Eric Fisher is no longer with Social Media Examiner. He is starting out ericfisher.com. What would you do first? And what lessons do you know now that you wish you wouldn't have done when you started?
Oh, gosh. Starting off, well, first and foremost, I would get that domain name set up and have it be not just a website, but also a podcast. And I would plan out consistently delivering content that first. Then I would create probably the Facebook page for it and the Twitter account for it. Are you asking, do I have any mistakes that I think you should not repeat?
Yeah. What are some mistakes that you would not do again? I mean, like, you know, doing too many selfies. I don't know. Something that you would never do.
Yeah. I think I would probably take it a little less seriously, but a little more structured. I think in the early days, it was all, I was thinking of it. Actually, there wasn't something bad about doing it this way. I was thinking about it just in terms of being a consumer. I wasn't thinking about it in terms of being a marketer. And so what I would do is I would try to take marketing smarts, but then still try to just be a consumer, but then be smart about it. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I can purely articulate what that means, other than just go and have fun, but maybe take one step back and say, is there a way I can craft this just one extra step that makes it even more appealing to people? Something like that.
Jim is saying, are you saying that good human-like AI is in the future for you? So would you say that you would go back and, to simplify that, maybe show more of yourself than being so, I don't know, show more of like Eric Fisher behind the scenes kind of stuff than you may have done when you did it the first time?
I think so. I think that's probably what I would do, is I would establish that, because over time I've kind of gotten away from that. There was a point in time where every other thing on my wall was bacon on Facebook. And though I don't think that's necessary, I do think that there's some personal stuff that I could have done more or different or better to establish, like, people knowing me more than got it, you know.
Yeah, Shannon says bacon. You say that like it's a bad thing. That's right. We bacon. I even have a sign for it. So the last question, what excites you the most of what's going on now in social? Is it live video? Is, you know, are you thinking Facebook will continue to dominate? What do you think is kind of the next thing, and what excites you about social?
I think that the best way to put this is that I don't think that any new thing about social really excites me as much as what has always excited me about social, which is that we're able to make these connections with people on all these different channels and get to know each other better and learn about each other and interact with each other and build relationships that then can be taken offline and vice versa. Like, it's become another dimension to the way we do life. And that, though that is scary when we think about what our, what we're going to do with our kids, right, it's also exciting. So I guess I'm kind of excited about it. I'm like, oh, this could be cool. Let's see where this goes.
Yeah. I mean, I was thinking the other day, you know, you're in Indy, close to Indy. I'm, you know, in Texas. And so, I mean, we've got, and our team is spread out throughout. Where else, in 5 years ago, this wouldn't have happened. But no, we can have, be part of a team, and, you know, we can interact, and there's creativity and collaboration. I mean, I collaborate with people in Italy. I, you know, Shannon Hernandez is watching. He's in Phoenix, Arizona. We whenever we travel and do a conference, you know, he and I get to hang out and have fun together. So, I mean, it's just really cool how this happened. So, yeah, I would agree that this is exciting. So, Eric, where can they find you online? And tell them a little bit about your podcast, because you have even more tips like what you've given today. I mean, you were on Michael Hyatt's most recent productivity summit thing that he was doing, which is just awesome. So let them know where they can find you.
Yeah, well, you can find me over at beyondthetodolist.com. And that pretty much links off to everything else. That's where the show comes out every week, and you can listen in.
Awesome. Awesome. And I'll make sure you give all those links in the show notes. As always, I'd love for you guys to visit manlypinterstips.com, click on the sidebar, and subscribe to our email community, where you'll never miss a great show and guests like we had with Eric today. Because at Manly Pinterstips, we're always adding testosterone one pin at a time. See you next time, everyone. Thanks for watching. Bye now.
Thank you for joining Jeff on his mission to help you be successful in the Pinterest world. Would you like to take part in a live show? Be sure to join Jeff's email community at manlypinteresttips.com. Adding testosterone, one pin at a time.